You better come on in my kitchen. There's hard to be raining out.
Come over here, kid. Why, sir? You never know, you might have to cook for 20 guys someday. You see, you start out with a little bit of oil. You fry some garlic. Then you throw in some tomatoes, tomato paste, you fry it, you make sure it doesn't stick. You got it to a boil, you shove in all your sausage and your meatballs. And a little bit of wine. And a little bit of sugar. And that's my trick.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore.
Enough. I'm so sick and tired of hearing you people talk about food, food, food. That's all anybody ever talks about is prosciutto, cheese, and fava beans. I'm drowning here.
Jesus Christ, take it easy.
We're not even engaged yet.
When you're married, you'll understand the importance of fresh produce.
I eat with gusto, damn your bet, my country tis of thee. I eat for social progress, I eat for victory.
Delicious.
You want some more?
Good evening and welcome to Mouthful, the Wine Country's most delicious hour. How are you doing this beautiful Sonoma County day? Perfect weather, I thought. A little bit breezy and cool, but warm if you were in the sun. We are going to taste oysters today. There are 4 dozen beautiful Kumamoto's freshly shucked by Lawrence Alberti, Mouthful's engineer. And we should, if all has gone well, have John Rowley of the Oyster Wine Competition on the air. John, are you there?
I'm here.
Excellent.
I don't hear you extremely well, but I can hear you.
Okay, well, we will try to adjust that during the first couple minutes. There will be engineers working behind the scenes to see if they can bring my voice up for you. Is it any better?
A little
better? Okay. What I want to do, John, is get you first to talk about the oyster wine competition, sort of a broad view, even though like it's really hard not to dive into the oysters right away. But I know that it's been going on for 16 years.
Yeah, we just finished the 16th annual one.
Yeah, and I've missed two or three in a row because I've either been out of the state or I've been sick. Next year, I'm going to be there. How did it get started? First of all, actually, what is the Oyster Wine Competition, and how did it get started?
Well, the Pacific Coast Oyster Wine Competition is a competition to try and find the best wines on the West Coast to go with oysters. And the reason we do that is because some years ago I was working as a consultant to restaurants and worked with oysters a lot, getting their oyster programs together. And I found myself recommending French wines to go with oysters. And I thought, this isn't right. You know, we've got all these wineries on the West Coast here, and there's no traditional association with certain wines and or certain regions and oysters. So Russ Parsons down at the L.A. Times.
Oh, yeah, Russ.
Well, going to have to taste a lot of wines. Taste a lot of oysters and drink a lot of wines. So one thing led to another, so we came up with this this idea, this oyster wine competition. And it's kind of, grown and matured and whatnot over the years. And it's a lot of fun. We have quite a number of, we have 5 preliminary judges in Seattle that, this year we had 167 wine centered, and we had 5.
And how do the people enter the wines? Do you reach out to people? Has it spread by word of mouth?
We send out a call to entry to the wineries, and hopefully it gets out, to most of them. We also have the call to entry on our website.
Yeah, and that's oysterwine.com, correct?
Yeah, and Taylor Shellfish Farms up here in Puget Sound is a sponsor of the competition.
So this year you started out with 156, you said?
167.
167. And what, when you say West Coast, what boundary do you use?
It's California, Oregon, Washington, and we include Idaho as well.
I also include Idaho. And so you have five judges in Seattle. When does that take place?
The call to entry goes out in February, and we start the judging start the preliminary judging in March. And these five judges, every wine is blind tasted with an oyster, so they've got 167 wines. So they show up every day for a week.
Oh, they take a week to do it. That's great.
Yeah. And then we pare those down to 30 wines and then to 20. And then the 20 are the finalists. And those go to three cities, Los Angeles, San Francisco, and Seattle, where we have larger panels.
Mm-hmm. And then that's whittled down to 10. And the 10 are just the 10 winners. It's not the top one, you know, it's not in order that way. It's just like, here are the top 10.
Yeah, we take the 10 highest scoring wines and we give them this really nice award called the Oyster Award.
Mm-hmm.
They can hang up in their tasting rooms. And and that works very well in the marketplace because, you know, the wines are a little bit different from each other. And that way a restaurant manager can, you know, get them in and do a tasting and pick the ones that they like. And so all the wines end up, all of those 10 wines end up getting some nice play in the marketplace.
And so it does have that sort of effect where sales increase, where people do, say, in restaurants, start making those pairings.
Yes, yes. It's very good business to be a winner of this competition.
Uh-huh. Have any Idaho wines placed in the top 10 yet?
Not yet.
Not yet. I don't know a lot about Idaho wines, but as we speak, a friend of mine is in Idaho. I should have asked him to bring a couple wines back. Well, I think we should do our first tasting right now. And I want you to choose which of the four wines that we have that we should taste first.
Okay, well, we've got the oysters iced down.
Yes.
And I've got a beautiful platter in front of me. And this must be radio history, Michelle.
I think it must be, especially. I mean, I bet somebody's eaten an oyster on the radio, but simultaneously in Seattle and Santa Rosa, probably not.
I can hear you. I'm going to be able to taste what you're tasting. And see the wines and the same wines and the same oysters. I just can't see you.
Next time we'll do it with a webcam.
Okay.
So which one should we do first?
Okay, I have the four wines in a bucket of ice. We serve them in an ice bath, so both the wines and the oysters are chilled to a crisp. So I'm just going to blindly reach into my ice bucket and pull out a Washington wine, a CMS. It's called CMS. White wine.
Now, this is an interesting one. It's a blend of Chardonnay, Marsan, and Sauvignon Blanc from the Columbia Valley. So I have it in my hand as well. I am pouring a little bit for myself and for our in-studio shucker.
So should we talk, before we taste, should we talk a little bit about what we're looking for?
Yes.
We like to think, when we order oysters in a restaurant, we order them, you know, by the half dozen or a dozen or two dozen at a time. And so we take oysters one after the other. So we have an oyster, then we have a sip of the wine, and then we go to the next oyster. So we don't want anything to get in the way of the next oyster. We don't want a lingering flavor. So we want a wine that's crisp and clean, that's crisp and finishes clean.
That's such a perfect observation and a perfect way to put it. You don't want a big fat feeling in your mouth. You don't want a mouthful of flowers
or sugar
or fruit.
Right.
You just want that crisp, clean.
You want a wine that just cuts clean.
Yes.
And so your palate is just ready to go on the next oyster.
Okay, so I'm going to loosen the muscle here on one and hand it to Lawrence. Here's your oyster, Lawrence.
So what we'll do now, Michelle, is I'd like to have the judges not use the little cocktail fork.
Uh-huh. We don't even have one in the studio.
Good. Pick up the oyster and you know, bring it up before your and smell it. And if it's you know, if it's a nice oyster,
it smells like I'm at the ocean, which right. is exactly how an oyster should smell.
And so, and we're not going to smell the wine before we have our oyster. So we have that. Oh, that's a wonderful, wonderful sea smell.
I'm drooling.
So. What we're looking for also in an oyster wine is a wine that has aromatic consonants, you know, one that has a smells like a sea breeze,
mm-hmm.
and that also is part of it. So then, when you slurp in the oyster, chew it very well, so it goes to every part of your palate. And there's something in the there's different things in the oyster that will go to every part of your
absolutely
palate.
Oh, and there's that wonderful sweetness.
Are we having the oyster now?
Oh, yes. And there's that sweetness that comes right at the end.
Mm.
Now do I take a sip of the wine?
Yeah, let's have a little wine. Oh, that's nice.
That's really nice. And there's right when the wine meets that sweet part of the oyster, which is right in the center back of your palate,
mm-hmm.
there's this little burst that is almost like lemon. It's almost like this little spritz of lemon.
And it washes the oyster away.
Yeah.
And very quickly.
Absolutely. So you are refreshed, just like you said. You're refreshed and ready to go.
Might have another one.
I think we should try it with this wine again. Absolutely.
Okay. Slurp in the oyster. Chew it well. Sip of the chilled wine. Oh, that is a beautiful thing.
Okay, Lawrence, you have to know. Lawrence had to run out and get a towel, so you're a little bit behind. You have to tell us what you think of this pairing.
I can catch up.
I think it's a beautiful, beautiful pairing. And I just love that that burst of lemon when the two meet is really exquisite.
It's nice. Very nice.
We're doing this too fast. I need to savor a little bit more.
You can eat yours a little more slowly, Lawrence. It's okay. John, while we're waiting for Lawrence to catch up with us, why don't you tell us a little bit about the oyster? It's a Kumamoto from Puget Sound, correct?
Right. This is grown by Taylor Shellfish Farms up in South Puget Sound. And these oysters were brought to the United States after the Second World War from the Kumamoto Prefecture in Japan. And they were brought to the replacement for the Olympia oyster up here, which was in trouble. But it never was really accepted as a substitute for the Olympia, and they were shucking them. As you can see there, the Kumamoto is very small, and there was just too much labor. Anyway, they never caught on in the market. The taste of the Kumamoto was not the taste of the Olympia. They never caught on. So they kind of forgot about the Kumamoto for many years until about the 1980s. And Billy Marinelli down there in San Francisco.
He's at Swan Oyster Depot, right?
Pardon?
Is he at Swan Oyster Depot?
No, I think he's in Asia now, but his company, Marinelli Shellfish, wholesales to restaurants.
Okay, I'm getting him mixed up with somebody.
And they have a facility in San Francisco and then one up here in Seattle as well. Anyway, he started promoting them as a half-shell oyster, and that's in the early 80s is when the half-shell market was kind of taking off.
Right, I remember that.
And this oyster really caught on. And it was, kind of the sweetheart of the half-shell trade for quite a while.
We do have some local, with a local company, Hog Island Oyster, grows some Kumamotos.
In fact, John Finger and mm-hmm. Different people from Hog Island have been judges in this competition
uh-huh.
most years.
How many species, I guess you would say, of oysters does Taylor shellfish grow?
Well, a species is an oyster that has its own Latin name. So they grow now four species of oysters, and then that being said, there's quite a number of varieties.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the ones we might recognize?
The one that's got a lot of acclaim up here in different parts of the country is one called the Totten Inlet Virginica, which is an eastern oyster grown here, and people just love it.
And what's going on with the little Olympia these days?
It's available. Mm-hmm. Has a certain amount of availability commercially, but it takes a long time to grow. It's a small oyster, about as big as a 50-cent piece.
Yeah.
In the shell.
Yeah, and I know the first year I judged with you, that's what we tasted.
Used those, yeah, and we're going to go back to those this next year.
Yeah, okay. I'll find the dates before I plan any trips. It's still my favorite oyster.
And it's available, but on a limited basis because it takes so long to grow. And if you're growing Kumamoto's on some tide land, you could grow another crop of oysters. You could grow two crops of oysters on the same tide land in the time it takes to grow an Olympia. So growers who grow them are making substantial commitment, financial commitment.
Mm. I just had one more oyster and one more little bit of wine. Absolutely beautiful. But now I think Lawrence might be ready to tell us what he thinks. he needs to come back down from the clouds.
I don't want to stop and talk about this. I want to keep eating.
So you like that? You like that?
The pairing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I've been focusing so much on the oysters, I've sort of been neglecting the wine.
That means the wine is doing the right thing.
It's a beautiful highlight, and there's also sort of a crispness that complements the two, the softness of the oyster and sort of the crispness of the wine. I don't know how the interplay works, but there's something there. The synergy, mm-hmm. I suppose, is what I enjoy the most mm-hmm. between the two. I think things you talked about earlier on, sort of that initial sensation is what I'm loving the most.
Well, I think, what wine should we try next?
I'll go down in the bucket and just blindly pick another one. Okay, we have another Washington wine. We have the Chateau Saint Michel 2008 Sauvignon Blanc.
Oh, yes. It's right here. Lawrence is going to fill my glass.
Fill?
No, not well, so to speak. Thank you. And your glass. And again, you want the oyster in your mouth first. You want to smell the oyster,
mm-hmm.
chew the oyster, and then take the wine.
Slow down now. Good oysters.
I'm not sure I've ever had this much fun on Mouthful. This is right up there with the absinthe tastings.
Now, see, this is a very different wine than the one we just tasted, but same result.
Very different wine, but absolutely. It's there, takes the rest of the oyster away, and leaves you wanting more. Yeah, this is a nice wine. It's very, very, very refreshing.
Yeah. And all these wines that win this oyster wine competition, they're perfect summer wine, for on a hot day, chilled mm-hmm. down like this out on the patio.
Mm-hmm.
They're perfect.
And this one, Lawrence, can I see the bottle to this, please? I just want to make sure we're really letting people know. And we'll go through it. Just before the show ends, I will repeat the name of all the wines, and we'll repeat the website, let you know where you can see the list of all 10. So this is Chateau Saint Michel, vintage 2008 Sauvignon Blanc from Columbia Valley.
That was very nice as well.
Now, would I you say there's a floral quality to that wine? I get it, something reminiscent of roses almost.
Really? Interesting. I'm not getting that, but I was paying attention to the oyster.
Okay, so what do I know?
If, well, you're, super...
if you're getting it, you know.
You're a super taster, Lawrence.
I think I might know what you're talking about. There's this little floral quality right at the center of the wine. I wouldn't necessarily call it roses, but now that you call it roses, you know, one of the things about tasting wine, one person will suggest a flavor and suddenly you see it.
I don't know that I put my finger on the exact flower that I was...
No, but I can see what you mean. And I'm going to try it one more time with an oyster.
You know, one of the things that's part of the reason why when we do this judging, we don't let the judges talk during the judging.
That's the hardest part. No chatting.
But it, you know, it makes a difference because the judges start talking with each other and they lose focus and inadvertently, you know, talk about the wine they just tasted, and then it does influence the...
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's good. I mean, I think that's one of the things with other types of wine judging. The judges so influence each other that you really should be doing it in a cubicle by yourself. Yeah, that is a great pairing. Absolutely great pairing. It makes me want to get on a plane, fly to New York, sit myself down at Grand Central Station Oyster Bar and not leave until closing time.
I've done that.
For a long time, whenever I landed in JFK, if it was at the right hour, that's what I did. I went into town, dropped my bags off or not, and went to Grand Central. And I just found out I'm going at the end of August. And
they've plugged in some of these wines.
Have they good?
You know, on their program there. Uh-huh. So you can go there and do the same thing right there.
My father and I were there in 1979.
Wow.
And it being Father's Day, it seems appropriate to mention that.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
And then you can get such an amazing array of oysters. The oyster I like best at Grand Central is the Wellfleet. And, it's from Wellfleet on Cape, the little village of Wellfleet on Cape Cod. And I've been to Wellfleet, but it was, I think, end of March, beginning of April, and everything was closed down. There wasn't even anywhere to eat. So I'm hoping to go back. Okay, our next wine.
Moving right along. A blind draw. Okay, we have... this is a wonderful little winery up in Oregon called Anime, A-N-N-E, one word, Anime.
Oh, it's
A-M-I-E.
It's A-N-N-E, A-M-I-E.
Yeah, Anime. Okay,
I thought it was two words. I thought it meant Anne Friend. It's a beautiful, beautiful label.
Yeah, and they've got two winners in the competition. This one, and then a Müller Thurgau, of all things.
A which?
Müller Thurgau.
Wow, I don't know that.
It's not a rare variety, but rare, I guess, in this country.
Yeah.
It's more German, Austrian.
Uh-huh.
Usually they're kind of flowery, I think, uh-huh. But the one that they make is just as beautiful with the oysters.
Okay, so we're going back to the ocean by sniffing the... oyster, and I recommend that everyone do this. You know, it's a great way to spend an evening. And, you know, here in Sonoma County, a quick ride out to the coast and you can buy yourself a sack of oysters. And all you need to do is make sure that you invite somebody to come along who can shuck.
Mm-hmm.
You provide the wine, you keep everything cold, and you have a great evening.
I want to apologize publicly, Michelle. I hope you're not getting as much of the little oyster pieces as I am.
I actually don't mind it.
Yeah, a little roughage in your diet.
I mean, I'll almost crawl across, you know, a football field of oyster shells if somebody will shuck for me.
Now, this wine is completely different than the other.
Oh, very, very different. But again, it has that quality you talked about right at the beginning. It ends, you know, quickly. There's not a lot of... It's not a real long finish.
No, it, definitely a Pinot Gris.
Tell me some things that you get from this wine.
Me?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if there's some, there's some fruit. You know, there was some fruit there, which usually I'm not a big fan of. Oyster wines. Like the other two, it finishes clean. It's not quite as clean as the other two, but it's very. It works nicely for me. I like it.
And I think, for me, the fruit is chilled honeydew melon, fairly close to the rind, not the softer, center portion of the honeydew, but when you get a little closer to the rind, it's not quite as sweet. Mm-hmm. And properly chilled, it's really refreshing. Yeah. That's what I'm tasting with this wine.
That's good.
And now I'm getting a mouthful of shell, but that's okay.
Who shucked your oysters? Mine are really clean and pretty here.
It took me a little while to get the hang of these little guys.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Delicious. What do you think, Lawrence?
Well, now that you've mentioned the melon, I'm so suggestible, as you mentioned, it's kind of hard for me to get away from that. That's definitely predominant, at this point at least, I'm taking your suggestion, and melon is definitely there.
We're just so suggestible.
Did you say honeydew?
Melon, yeah. Closer to the rind than the center.
Kind of the greenness of
the
that.
Greenness. But, yeah. And chilled.
Yeah.
And that's not a quality. I see that often in West Coast wines. And I'm not a huge fan of fruit in white wines. No. I like the more mineral qualities. Yeah, but the honeydew is nice because it stays refreshing, and it doesn't have a lot of intimation of sugar.
This winery, all of their wines that I've tasted anyway have that have very similar. They're in a very similar style. They make.
And where exactly are they located?
Well, I've not been there. Uh-huh. On the label, it just says Willamette Valley.
Oh, Willamette. Okay, Willamette Valley. So somewhere between Portland and McMinnville?
Yeah, that triangle, Portland, McMinnville, Salem.
Salem, that's right, yeah.
Carlton, Oregon.
Carlton. I've only been through there once, and it was for the Pinot Noir Festival, back in the mid-90s. But it was really, really hot.
Boy, we might have been at the same one.
Oh, yeah. It was over 100 degrees during the day.
Remember.
And the traffic between Portland and McMinnville is challenging, I think we could say. So I'm going to try this one again. I'm going to take another oyster. And this is the perfect oyster. It's got lots of its brine.
We're still on the Anime Pinot Gris?
Yep.
Boy, I wish our listeners could have this same virtual experience here.
That is just a beautiful pairing. Really wonderful. And, one of the things I'm realizing is I've always been a big fan of a little bit of mignonette, a vinegar and citrus sauce to spoon on oysters. But when you get a pairing that is as good as these three have been so far, you don't really need anything like that.
You don't want anything.
No, you don't want anything.
Just imagine trying to pair those wines with vinegar.
No, you don't want it. This is perfect, just as it is.
And I noticed when I was in, spent 11 days in Paris a couple months ago.
Lucky you.
Yeah. And I ate a lot of oysters.
As one always should in Paris. The last time I was in Paris, the night before I left, offhand I can't remember. Oh, I remember what I was doing. I had this very, very long lunch. I was by myself. Then I had this very unusual experience where a woman with a lot of physical disabilities was trying to get to the train station. And I ended up helping her. She needed help, and I just stepped in. And it was actually a really wonderful experience. I just walked around the whole city doing that with her, which took 2 or 3 hours. And then I was going to go back to my hotel room, and I was walking past this place, a seafood bar. And I just thought, you know, I'm leaving tomorrow. What difference does it make that I'm not all that hungry? And I went in and I got myself a half bottle of a very nice Sancerre and two or three dozen oysters. And I sat there in the Paris night looking out. And two women came by while I'm sitting there drinking my wine and eating my oysters. And they just stood there watching me. And we just had one of those great moments where we made eye contact and we smiled. And it was, I would have loved to have stayed, but I had to go home the next day. And it was the perfect last time I've been in Paris until the next time.
A great oyster moment.
Yes, a great oyster moment. You know
what I was going to say was in Paris, you know, whenever you order oysters, just about always they're served with mignonette sauce.
Yes.
And this brown bread and very good butter. And it's just traditional. But what I noticed over there is that is the French people that, you know, really enjoy their oysters, they don't touch the mignonette sauce. Just like people here don't touch the cocktail sauce.
No, the cocktail sauce, no.
Would one of you describe that? I don't know what mignonette sauce is.
A mignonette is vinegar, lemon or lime juice, black pepper, and then usually, if you want to be very traditional, minced shallots. Now, some people have, the famous one here is called hogwash. And it's rice wine vinegar, lime juice, minced jalapeno, and cilantro. And at the parties that Hog Island would have, they would have this. And it's it's really
Sounds
good.
Sounds great.
It's really, really, really good. Perfect if you're drinking beer, if you're drinking, say, a nice crisp Pilsner or something with your oysters. So, yeah, it's vinegar, citrus, black pepper, and shallots.
And also, probably traditionally, you know, vinegar, shallots, and black pepper is the
Okay, without the citrus?
Right.
Oh, okay. I've always had it with a little
basic,
citrus.
That's the basic mignonette.
Yeah, and you want just the tiniest bit, you know, the tiniest.
A little bit goes a long way.
Yeah, a little bit goes a long way. Well, you know what we're going to do now, John? We're going to take one more musical break. So you'll stay with us, right?
Yeah.
Just stay with
Absolutely.
Us.
Absolutely. I'm not going to miss this.
Okay, great. Just stay with us. We're going to take a little musical break, and I should tell everyone, we are speaking with John Rowley of the, and that's Rowley, of Oyster Wine Competition up in Seattle. We are tasting our way through four of the winning wines from this year's Oyster Wine Competition, the 16th annual. We'll be giving you details of the four wines and all the websites at the end of the hour, so be sure to have your pencils. We're going to take a little break, and we'll be back with our final wine. It's Mouthful. I have the judging instructions for the oyster wine competition in my hand, and here's how they begin. As I ate the oysters with their strong taste of the sea and their faint metallic taste that the cold white wine washed away, leaving only the sea taste and the succulent texture, and as I drank their liquid from each shell and washed it down with the crisp taste of the wine, I lost the empty feeling and began to be happy and to make plans. That, of course, is from A Movable Feast by Ernest Hemingway. Oysters captivate everybody, especially writers. And if you're looking for a summer read, you wouldn't do worse, or you wouldn't do better than Consider the Oyster by M.F.K. Fisher. It was written in 1941 for her second husband, Dilwyn Parrish, and it is a lovely book.
Love that book.
Yeah, absolutely love it. So, and I love that you start out the judging instructions with that fabulous, that's my favorite Hemingway quote.
And that's the quote, is reading that quote when I was a young man in Paris that got me into oysters.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you remember your first oyster?
Well, I think it was in Paris, and I think it was after this reading this, I went over to, I got on the metro and went over to metro stop Vavin, and went to Le Dom, and had my first oysters. And I spent all the money that I had at that particular moment on my first platter of oysters and whatever wine they recommended there.
And what was your reaction with that first oyster? What did you think and what did you feel?
Well, I still had this paragraph from Hemingway in my head, so a lot of what I, felt and tasted, came from that paragraph. But I was very intrigued with this food that would give one a bright outlook. So it was a moment that sticks with me to this day.
I remember my first oyster incorrectly, because I know I had eaten oysters on the half shell many times from about 1978 or so through the early 80s. But for me, my first conscious oyster, if that makes any sense, I had gone to New Orleans for the first time, and I was on a riverboat cruise. Stevie Ray Vaughan was the headliner, and there were a lot of other musicians playing. But I went up to the third or fourth floor of the riverboat, which is where the food was, and I'd never had New Orleans food before, and it's where I had my first red beans and rice and where I had my first gumbo. But they had a canoe filled with ice and covered with oysters on the half shell. And I just took one look, and I ordered two dozen. And I can't...
So that was your first oysters?
Even though I know that they couldn't have been, they're the first ones that I really remember. And I cannot recall anything ever tasting better than at that moment. I can't remember even being happier than at that moment. Just standing there, the full moon, the Mississippi River, the riverboat swaying, Stevie Ray Vaughan playing down below. Oh, it was such a moment.
Another great oyster moment.
Yes. Yes, I think, and I as we taste these, and I think how lucky we are that we have Puget Sound and Tomales Bay and all the other great places on the West Coast, I have really tremendous empathy and concern for what's going on in the Gulf.
I just wish
those people the best. And we're hoping, we have someone here, actually I should get you two together, which I will do by email. Jimmy Gall, I think is how you pronounce his name, G-A-L-L-E is his last name. A couple years ago, he started a company called Gulf Fish, one word. And my friend Dave Legros has been selling his seafood, Jimmy's seafood, that he brings directly from Gulf fishermen. He gets it from the boats and flies it here directly. So I'd been familiar with it for a while, but I've been getting reports from Jimmy now every week or so. And he just organized a benefit that took place on the 10th, 11th, and 12th of June nationwide, where restaurants featured something to do with Gulf Fish, whether it was actually the fish or a special cocktail or something. And all the funds that were raised went directly to help people, get over this and clean up and remain sustainable.
Yeah, so, I read about
that. Yeah, he's doing a really good job. We have one more wine to taste.
And I'll tell you, we have 10 winners, and how I got these four wines that we're tasting.
Mm-hmm.
It was totally random. I wrote the names down on a piece of paper. I cut them and put them in a bowl.
Did you really?
And just threw them out blind, and so that's how we got these four wines.
That's so funny. That's how I got my second daughter's middle name. I put in 10 names, and she ended up with my name as her middle name.
Okay, the next wine is from your country.
Yes, Napa Valley, Heights Cellars, Sauvignon Blanc. And I think this is a 2008 vintage.
2008 Sauvignon Blanc.
Yeah, it's a great label. I love Heights labels.
And this is one of my favorites, this particular wine. Oh, they're all my favorites, but this one I favor among my favorites.
Okay,
oyster.
Smell that oyster.
Yeah, we
know. Oh, it's just like sitting on a rock out at Doran Beach or Salmon Creek Beach.
That was a particularly good oyster. Notice the oysters are different from each other, too.
Now, that's another entirely different, but really pleasant. And there's some white wines have a quality that I've always referred to as briny. There's just that little hint of sea air, of salt and salt air, and at least in combination with the oyster, this Heights Sauvignon Blanc has that.
Yeah, it really has that sea.
Yeah, absolutely.
Seaness to it.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite qualities in a Sauvignon Blanc. I think I have to be sure, though. I think I need to try it again.
Yeah, absolutely. The wine that I saw most frequently in Paris restaurants with oysters that my last trip was Cancy Sauvignon Blanc.
Say that again.
Cancy, Q-U-I-N-C-Y.
Q-U-I-N-C-Y. Okay. Yeah, I've seen that.
But this Heights Sauvignon Blanc is better.
I'm enjoying this quite a lot.
Such a beautiful thing.
When you're up there do you live in Seattle, John?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When you want to go out and enjoy oysters, where do you go?
Restaurant wise?
Restaurant, cafe, oyster bar, but out rather than at home.
Well, I used to work with a number of the restaurants in Seattle on their oysters. So, but day in and day out, probably the best oyster program in Seattle is at Elliott's Oyster House. They have a selection, like the Grand Central Oyster.
And where is that?
Right down on the waterfront.
Now, when I was there, it was a number of years ago. I was there for a book signing. It's probably in 97 or 98, probably in 98, like January or something. And I had a little extra time, so I went walking through Pike's, and I went down, through all the different, little stalls. And I found one. You had to go sort of in the back, and then you came upon this oyster bar. It was a small counter.
Emmett Watson's.
They loved writers.
Emmett Watson's.
Really? Well, they had postcards. They made me sign something. They gave me all. They were so excited a writer was there. I must have stood there and had three dozen oysters. It was so it's Emmett Watson's?
Yeah, it's named after a writer.
Okay. I've been trying to remember. I want to come up to Seattle just for a couple of days because, here there's now a flight from direct from Santa Rosa to Seattle.
I heard that.
Yes, and I've been wanting just to treat myself at some point. Specifically for oysters, really.
I'll take you around.
Okay, we will make that plan.
An oyster slurping tour of Seattle.
Yes, that's. I think I'm going to make that in my near future. So we've tasted our way through all four wines. Why don't we go through? We've got just about 4 minutes left. We actually end about 5 minutes before the hour. So why don't we recap what we've tasted, John? Do you want to do it, or do you want me to do it?
Well, we started out with a Washington wine, a blend called CMS in Columbia Valley.
It's CMS, White Wine by Hedges, 2008. It is a blend of Chardonnay, Marsan, and Sauvignon Blanc. What does this sell for? Do we have that information?
We do, actually. Suggested retail is $12.
$12, that's a great deal. Okay, next we tasted Chateau St. Michel, 2008, Columbia Valley Sauvignon Blanc.
Suggested retail,
$10. $10. You have more money to spend on oysters when you spend less on wine. Next we have just the beautifully labeled, is it Anami?
Yes.
Anami 2009 Pinot Gris from Willamette Valley.
Suggested retail $19.
And finally, we have Heights Cellar 2008 Napa Valley Sauvignon Blanc.
And suggested retail $19.
$19. So everything under 20. And that doesn't the price factor doesn't count in the radiance, correct?
Oh no.
No, it does. It doesn't figure. But it's great to see, $10 wines placing really well, as they should. It's nice to see that.
Yeah, one thing I love about this competition is when it turns up wineries that nobody's heard of.
Yeah.
Like this Anami. I mean, Anami Winery actually has a cult following, but uh-huh. I wasn't familiar with.
Well, I'm going to learn more about them now. I'm really happy to know about it. Can you real quickly, in like a few seconds, 30 seconds or so, can you tell us the other winning wines this year?
I can, and I'll also give you the website address. Yes. And there's a list. Just broke the phone cord over a bottle of wine. Glass of wine. We have the Acrobat Pinot Gris from Oregon. Enemy Mueller Thurgau.
Oh, right. That was a really unusual one.
Columbia Winery Pinot Gris from Washington. Franciscan Sauvignon Blanc from California. King Estate Pinot Gris from Oregon.
Say that one more time.
King
Estate. Yes, absolutely. We know King Estate.
And Kunda, 09 Sauvignon Blanc.
Oh, K-U-N-D-E?
Yes.
That's Kunde. We know Kunde quite well here. Yes.
I'm sorry.
No problem.
So if you go to www.oysterwine.com, you can get the list of winners and the list of judges and, you know, lots of fun.
So that's oysterwine.com. And if you love oysters, you know, just think this is a great way to host a party. You can get yourself a sack of oysters from anywhere, get yourself a shucker and get some of these wines. And it makes for great around the dinner table conversation. It's a really fun way to spend an evening. I highly recommend it. And I think I just came up with what I'm going to do for my upcoming birthday.
When is it?
July 6th.
Ah.
You know, and everybody's too tired to do anything with my birthday because they all go out on July 4th. And, you know, it's like, come on, you guys. And I finally, once I grew up, I realized the parade was actually not for me. But, you know, I have a few diehard friends who will hang in there with me and enjoy the evening. John, I want to say thank you very much. You sent the wines. You sent the oysters. I so appreciate it. And, you know, putting this together, even though in this last, here on Mouthful, we've had a great time. This has been one of the most fun shows we've ever done. Putting this tasting together is a lot of work. And I think it's a great thing that you do.
Well, Michelle, thank you so much for having me on. I had the most fun with this. This is, and I think we just made radio history.
I think we did. And one of these days, maybe when you come down next time, next year for the tasting in San Francisco, maybe I'll get you live in the studio.
Oh, I love that. And we need to get you live at the judging.
I will check with you before I make my reservations for my spring trip to Hawaii. I promise. You have a great night.
Okay. Thank you again.
Okay. And
see you in the spring.
See you in the spring. Okay. Or sooner. And thanks to you for tuning in. Meet me back here next week for another yummy episode of Mouthful, the Wine Country's Most Delicious Hour here on KRCB. It's Michelle Anna Jordan. Have a great week.